For those of you, you might see every month in the bulletin a mention of a group called the Fourth Monday Group. We've read various books about faith and discuss them, discern from them what might be important to our lives. We read one a few months ago, a little article by a woman named Martha Evans Clark. I get this right. Yeah, Martha Evans Clark. She's a Presbyterian elder and writer. And she shared a story that I want to share with you in kind of abbreviated form. But she talks about when she was a child, specifically a first grader. In fact, it was this incident that she recalls happened on the day that she was starting first grade. And of course, all the anxiety that goes with that was part of her life that day. Now, at that time, her family had a gentleman staying with them, not a relative, but a good friend, an older gentleman, a retired college professor, whom Martha knew as Professor Fisher. In Martha's family, the tradition was that they ate breakfast together every day. Now, in my household, we all eat on our own pace at our own time, and we usually, at least for me, grab something and head out the door. But in her family, the family would get together around the table and begin with a prayer. Now, this was a special day with being Martha's first day of first grade, and the one who was asked to pray this particular day, that honor fell on Professor Fisher. And so Martha, like her brothers and sisters and parents, all bowed their head, and Professor Fisher started. And Martha said, I don't remember anything that he prayed when he started praying, but I'm sure it was the usual stuff you hear in the morning prayers. Thanks for the day, thanks for the food, those sorts of things. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of this prayer, she said, and Professor Fisher says, and Lord God, be with Martha as she goes off to school today. Be with Martha, said Martha's ears perked up. He was talking about me. And he continued, and bless her and watch over her throughout her education. Give her the strength to work hard, to learn what she needs to learn, and to grow in her acquaintance with you. Martha was stunned by this prayer, so much so that she said, I lifted up my eyes and peeked. And on that day, in early September, the sun was shining through the kitchen window, and it illuminated the face of Professor Fisher. She said, he glowed. And I thought I was seeing maybe perhaps the face of God. Professor finished his prayer, they finished their breakfast, and they headed off to school. And Martha wrote that she never told anyone about this. I mean, how can you tell your family that you peeked during a prayer? But she remembered that, even though she didn't share it with anyone. She didn't even share it with her family when news came that Professor Fisher had died. But she remembered that day. She remembered that prayer. She remembered it particularly, as she reflected back on it, at those times in her educational life that were particularly difficult. She remembered that face appearing to her in her mind's eye in sixth grade when they were having trouble figuring out the volume of spheres and wondering why this was going to be important. She remembers his face when she was in middle school, and she had to do essays for the first time. She remembered seeing his face when she got to college, moving into a dorm and being away from home for the first time. She remembered his face even in graduate, or when she got to graduate school and there were mountains of reading to do. And she particularly remembers at the end of her graduate school program, she remembers seeing his face and hearing that prayer when she was on the eve of defending her master's thesis. And she wrote about that, saying that here was a gentleman that didn't really know her, praying not only for her as a six-year-old child on her first day of kindergarten, but praying for all her educational life. And she discovered that through the years, she could draw on the strength of that prayer all the way through those 16, 17, 18 years of education. She called it was a prayer for the long haul. She said that most of the time she prays for what's going to happen today or maybe tomorrow, more immediate needs, but the revelation that this professor gave her, that God hears and honors prayers throughout a lifetime. And I remember reading that, and it stirred me and reflected on me. The psalm that Janet read this morning says that God keeps covenant for 1,000, not years, 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, God holds his covenant with God's people. Think about that, everybody. Think about that, that God is in touch with us over the long haul like that. I think it was in that context that Paul began his letters, the one I read was to the church in Thessalonica, but to all his letters, with a prayer. We hold you constantly in our prayers, for God holds us constantly as well. If you look on the cover of your bulletin in the upper left-hand corner, there's a little picture of a building. Some of you will recognize that as the original First Presbyterian Church. It wasn't called that then, but that was the first church that was built for this congregation. 1829, 190 years ago, they finished that church and held their first worship service in the corner of Dempsey and Hempstead here in Westerville, down on the southeast corner of town. If you drive down there and you're heading south on Hempstead to get to the light at Dempsey and you look to your right, which would be the northwest corner, you'll see a little park. If you look carefully in that park, there's a little stone wall in the shape of a rectangle that marks out the foundation of that building you're looking at in that sketch. 190 years ago, this year, Presbyterians gathered and worshiped in that building. We don't have any record of what was preached that day or what scripture was read, and we certainly don't have any record of the prayers that were said. But I can imagine what the prayers might have been. I can imagine that they were prayers said in thanksgiving to God for blessing that congregation with the building. that they were worshiping in for the first time. Prayers of God to God, thanking God that the resources and the time and the energy were put into building that building. I can imagine. And I suspect that that prayer included as well a prayer asking God's blessing on the future of that church. I know if I was there, my prayer would say something like that. Think about the future of that church 190 years ago. Did they have any idea that the congregation would still be around in 190 years? I don't know. Probably not. They probably didn't think of that, did they? Did they have any idea that that congregation, on that first day, that a week later, that building would burn down and they would have to rebuild it? Did they have an idea that 30-some years later they would discover that Westerville was growing up here in this way, and they decided to move their congregation to this site right here and do it during the middle of the Civil War? They moved here in 1864 and built a church building here. Did they have any idea back in 1829 that in 1912 they would decide that the building they were in would no longer met their needs and they would tear it down and build the sanctuary that you're sitting in now? Do they have any idea that in the 1950s this church would build an addition, and then in 2018 they would dedicate another addition? Do they have any idea, when they prayed back then at that first building, when they asked God's blessings upon the future of the congregation, what that future would hold? Did they have any idea what the world would be like? Of course they didn't. Of course they didn't. They didn't have any idea of the changes that would happen in the world, in this country, in Westerville. What they did have was faith. They had a faith in a God that had called them together, a faith that gave them the courage to build a church on the frontier, a faith that would say, Lord, bless this congregation in the years ahead. Today at the annual meeting, which will be after the end of this service, we will get a bit of a glimpse of how we have been blessed in just this last year and what blessings we foresee as part of 2019. But I think it's also a day to think about how we might be a blessing to the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Till 1,000 generations, you know, I found out that a generation is 30 years, roughly. Depends how you measure and what branch of science you're talking about. But if a generation is 30 years, we are only in our seventh. We have about 993 to go. But that is the God we worship that watches over us for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. And that is the blessing we have today. May God bless this congregation for all, giving thanks for all that we have been blessed with so far, all that we have been blessed with in this past year, all that we will be blessed with in the coming year, and for each year and decade and generation to come. Amen.